From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances. I'm John Schaefer. Drummer and composer Allison Miller leads an all-star band called Boom Tick Boom, which combines the rhythms and improvisatory flair of jazz with a chamber music elegance and does so with an evident sense of discovery and of fun. Allison Miller's Boom Tick Boom are celebrating their 10th anniversary with a new album called Glitter Wolf, and they are here to play a track called Congratulations and Condolences.
Thank you.
That is Alison Miller's Boom Tick Boom, live here in the studio with a performance of Congratulations and Condolences, which is the lead-off track on the new record called Glitter Wolf. Alison Miller leading the band from behind the drum kit. Alison, good to see you.
Good to see you.
That tune, I want to introduce the band in a moment, but that tune has kind of a modal quality to the melody. Where did that come from?
Well, I think I had been listening to a lot of modal music when I wrote this song, and I really wanted something to feel like it was taking flight and celebratory, but also really kind of moving forward. And That's what happened.
All right. Well, congratulations. I don't know about the condolences part, but congratulations on 10 years of this band.
Thank
Boom
you.
Tick Boom. With Jenny Scheinman on violin, Todd Sikafoos on the double bass, the horns, the cornet played by Kirk Knufke, and Ben Goldberg playing the clarinet. You'll hear him playing the more uncommon contra alto clarinet in a bit. And Carmen Stoff at our piano in the playing the role of Myra Melford today. And sitting in with the band, one of the guest percussionists from the record, John Hatfield. There are several guest percussionists who make an appearance here and there, Alison, on the record called Glitter Wolf. So it is 10 years of Boom Tick Boom. How did the band start?
Well, the band started in 2008, and I had had a particularly prolific August, I remember, in 2008, and I had written a bunch of music. And at that time, I think I had already tried to call Myra Melford, you know, to play together maybe 20 times. And she was never available. But finally, she was available. So I wrote all this music and went out to Berkeley, California. And we did a trio concert, actually, Myra, Todd, and myself. Mm. And we played that music. And it just so happened that the engineer recorded the concert from that day. And then after I heard the concert, I said, okay, this is it. I have to make this happen. So that's how it started.
And I have to have a cornet and a clarinet
and
that's a
violin. That's my own compositional fault.
It's a very distinctive conglomeration of sounds. And, of course, you've got a very distinctive lineup of people to play them.
Yeah.
Boom, tick, boom, onomatopoetic.
Yeah.
What about the title Glitter Wolf? I mean, the Glitter Wolf is not the only wolf on this new record.
No, yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. Well, my son's middle name is Wolf, Charlie Wolf, and we kind of had this joke around the house because my daughter likes to dress him up in her leotards and various butterfly wings and things. He's actually really into it too. It's not like he's
How old is he?
He's only one. I mean, he'll be two in
okay.
In
as
April.
Long as he's, I thought you were going to say he's 23.
But he's like he's very like fabulous and fierce when he wears these outfits. Anyway, he wore this one outfit and then we kept finding glitter on him for weeks afterwards, and so it was kind of a joke name and. But then I started really thinking about what that means and kind of that title, and I love it. It's like fierce and fabulous and just embracing all of those aspects of yourself.
Yeah. So that idea of duality.
Exactly.
Runs through a lot of your writing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's certainly rooted in jazz, but not confined to it. Mm-hmm. And the kind of the emotional content of this record seems to, I mean, that title. Congratulations and Condolences suggests that.
Yeah, I mean, I think with every congratulatory experience comes something else that maybe is a little melancholy.
Yeah. You know? So, speaking of melancholy, I understand you often write on the subway.
Well, now I do with two kids. I write when I can. I haven't quite figured out how to write peacefully at home yet. I'm working on it. I have a little drum studio now, so eventually I'm going to just like lock the door and hide in there for a while. But yeah, a lot of this music I wrote just, you know, with my phone singing into my voice memo app or on GarageBand on my little phone, you know, with a little keyboard, stuff like that.
So they begin with you kind of humming or singing a tune.
Yeah, I mean, really it's almost always a melody, and sometimes I don't know if that melody will end up being played by the front line, you know, cornet, clarinet, violin, or sometimes that melody ends up being the bass line. Mm-hmm. But it all starts with a melody and a groove. And for me, this record was really, it was really important for me to embrace groove and dance and melodies.
Mm-hmm. And when you do write and have instruments at hand, do you sit behind the trap set? Do you write at a piano? How does that work?
I never sit behind the drums. Never. Although I do think of this instrument as a melodic instrument. No, it's usually the piano, sometimes upright bass, and the vibraphone.
Vibraphone, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's some vibes on this record.
Yes.
So the tune you're going to play next for us called Malaga, now that's a place in Spain.
Yes.
So is that allusion intentional on your part?
Yeah, this one's pretty straightforward. You know, I wrote it in Malaga.
Oh, okay.
And I think I was there playing the Malaga Jazz Festival. So that was two summers ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was one kid ago.
Was it one kid ago? No, it was two kids ago.
Really? Oh, so they're both?
They're both, yeah, because
recent.
My son will be two in April, so, yeah. And my daughter will be five in May.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What's that look?
that's the look of someone who's been there.
Oh.
and understands that brief moment of confusion where you're trying to work out the math.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, exactly.
We're speaking with Allison Miller. Her band is Boom Tick Boom. The new record is called Glitter Wolf. It is out now, and this song is on it. You want to play it for us?
Yes, we'd love to.
Malaga is the name of it. That is Allison Miller's Boom Tick Boom, live here in our new sound studio on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast with a live performance of Malaga, another tune from the band's new record called Glitter Wolf. Malaga sounds like a pretty funky place, Allison.
Definitely is.
Yeah.
You haven't been?
I have not.
Mm.
The sound of John's metal percussion also put, I don't know why, evoked in my mind's eye a train off in the distance mm-hmm. going by.
Are those gamelan bars?
Yeah, like gamelan strips.
Oh, gamelan strips.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the tuning a little different from Western percussion. Now, the idea of tuning and melody, I want to come back to something you said a few minutes ago, Allison, which is you view this instrument, the drum kit, as a melodic instrument. I know you do a lot of teaching. How do you get your students to think of something that has come down to us as a purely percussive device? How do you get them to think about it melodically?
Well, it's pretty simple with my students. I ask them, I was going to say they are required. It's like putting on a different hat all of a sudden. I ask them to learn a song every week. So, for instance, I think this week I have one of my students learning Speak No Evil, a Wayne Shorter piece.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in and they play the melody, just the rhythm of the melody on one drum. And then I ask them to explore interpreting it on the drums and actually trying to get more specific pitches. And so it just stacks up from there. And then they solo using the melody. And I find that that's really the easiest way to teach drummers how to be musical and to be able to outline forms of tunes without actually counting. Because then they just sing the melody.
So when you had something like Max Roach with his four-part Inventions,
right,
where he was really thinking kind of contrapuntally and counterpoint of melodic information as well as rhythmic stuff.
Right.
Seems like he was maybe thinking of his instrument along similar lines as a melodic.
Definitely, one. Definitely. I mean, he is a huge inspiration for me. But, you know, those classic solos, one for Big Sid and the drum also waltzes. These are some classic Max Roach solos, which I also have my students learn.
Mm-hmm.
But those are very melodic solos, and they're based off of a very small piece of thematic material that then just grows and builds and expands.
Well, now, so Max Roach was a hero for you, as he would be for most drummers, I suspect. But if you're a young woman now and you want to be a drummer, there are numerous role models, thanks to people like you.
Mm-hmm.
What about for you growing up? Were there any
women
role models?
Definitely. I mean, you know, naturally I was drawn towards the singers, actually. You know, I listened to a lot of singers growing up. Etta Jones was a huge inspiration to me. And, you know, the classic Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan.
Right.
Carmen McRae. But as far as drummers go, for me it was Terry Lynn Carrington. You know, really, I was so in love with the drums from a very young age, and
mm-hmm.
I still am, that I just was like, okay, give me more and more and more, more material. And so my mom got me a subscription to Modern Drummer, which I still get. My mom still has the subscription for me. And really the only women I would see in that magazine at that age when I was young would be Terry Lynn Carrington and Cindy Blackman. So I was always just kind of like thirsty for seeing them in print, you know.
Yeah,
and when they did, I was so happy about that.
What about like outside the jazz world, like Sheila E.?
Yeah, of course. I was a huge, I can't believe I didn't say her name, but yeah, I had this concert video on VHS when I was a kid, you know, Prince, Sign of the Times.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that thing, I mean, I probably watched it 500 times.
Yeah.
And Sheila E. is playing drums. And she does the solo, and her hand starts bleeding. It's like epic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, it's to the point where you can have, I mean, you have Boom Tick Boom, but you're also a part of Lioness,
uh-huh.
which is, mm-hmm. it's all women, mm-hmm. and nobody really makes such a big deal about that.
No.
I mean, there has been I wouldn't go so far as to say a sea change, not my place to say that, but things have moved.
Yeah, no, I think it's changed, and I think it's changing, and I think it's more, in some ways, sometimes it feels like it's a bigger deal in the media and the press than it is amongst musicians. Like, everybody that I play with, we just play together because we love each other's musicianship, and we love the hang, which is actually more, takes up more time than actually being on stage, you know, so you know, my band is actually, it's pretty democratic. It's three men and three women, but I didn't put that together to have three men and three women. Mm-hmm. It just happened that way. And it was really each person's unique voice on their instrument that made me put this band together. So I think it is getting better.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that over the course of the numerous Boom Tick Boom records, lots of solos, not so many drum solos. There are a couple on this record.
Yeah.
How do you decide when it's your turn?
When it's my I take a lot of solos live.
Yeah. So
if you come to a concert, you will hear a lot of Boom Tick Boom drum solos. You know, this band for me started as an outlet for my composing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of really the most important thing to me. And it really, for me, is important to feature everybody in the band in my composing. So that's, if I can do that, I feel very satisfied because everybody really has a special quality in this band. And I, you know, I love to solo. I solo as a side musician. I solo so much in other people's bands. I don't know. My record before this, I think hardly had a solo. And then I remember
a few
people.
Is that Otis Was a Polar Bear?
Yeah, it did have this one kind of epic, like, journey drum solo. But that was it. But the record before that hardly had any solos, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, the reason I ask now is because the tune you're going to do next, The Ride.
Yeah.
Actually begins,
yes,
at least on the record, with a drum solo.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm doing it right now. Sticks are getting picked up.
Allison Miller's Boom Tick Boom. The album is called Glitter Wolf. It's their latest, and they're here to play some songs from it on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. This one's called The Ride. We'll be right back. That is Alison Miller's Boom Tick Boom with a live performance of The Ride. And I think there was a little actual boom tick boom at the end there. Once again, the members of the band include Kirk Knuffke on cornet, Ben Goldberg on clarinet and the contra alto clarinet, Jenny Scheinman on violin, and in the rhythm section we have Todd Sikafoos on bass, John Hatfield playing percussion, Carmen Stoff at our piano, and of course Alison Miller behind the drum kit. Now, you were saying, Alison, that Boom Tick Boom is more, it's not about you as drummer, it's more about you as a composer.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the ultimate statement of that might be the concluding track on this record on Glitter Wolf, the track called Valley of the Giants.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you don't actually play on that.
I don't play. I just was bossing everybody around from the control room.
We call that conducting
or
producing.
Right.
So there's kind of an interesting collaborative compositional backstory to this piece.
Yes, there is. In 2017, I do know exactly when this was. I know exactly when it was. This was in March of 2017, and I was the guest artist at the Thailand Jazz Workshop in Bangkok. And part of my duties as the guest artist was to musically direct the top ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the week with these incredible Thai musicians, and what I did was I basically said, we played maybe a Mingus tune and one of my other originals. And then I said, okay, now let's write a tune together. And they had never done that before. So we wrote something together. We didn't actually write it down. We just, each section came up with a part. And that's basically was the beginning of this piece.
So was this like a big band, or was it a series of smaller ensembles?
It was a smaller ensemble, but there were still, I think, 18 musicians in the ensemble. Yeah, it was great.
Teenagers or?
Some teenagers, mostly early 20s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so are these, maybe you weren't there long enough to learn this, but, you know, did you get a sense that they knew their own music? Like a lot of the Thai court music almost has a jazzy improvised sound.
Right. Well,
to
you know, the king that passed away 2 years ago, who was, I guess, the longest reigning king in the world, he was a jazz saxophone player. So a lot of those.
I did not know that.
He was.
Wow.
He was an alto player. And so a lot of the Thai people, they really, you know, they really loved him. And so a lot of the Thai people got introduced to jazz because of him.
So they actually have a sort of a homegrown tradition at this point.
They do, yeah. And I actually don't know if these musicians that I was working with really knew much about traditional Thai music. We didn't get into that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I'm wishing we did now.
But teaching is important to you, evidently.
Very important. You know, I come from a certain jazz drumming stock, and one of my teachers is Michael Carvin, and his whole thing is each one teach one. And his other big motto that he would say to me pretty much on a weekly basis was, he'd say, you're a great drummer, but you can only become a master by passing it on.
Mm.
So I really took that to heart.
All right. Well, I don't know how you keep all these balls in the air, you know, Boom Tick Boom and Lioness and all the various other projects, not to mention two small kids.
Right.
But Alison, congratulations to you and the band on Glitter Wolf. It's a great sounding record. And thank you for playing for us today.
Thank you so much.
Here is a little bit of Valley of the Giants to wrap up this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.